And we just sang that song, nothing is impossible with you. And then it says, I believe you're my healer, you're my portion, you're my everything. Is that just a song this morning, or is that your heart cry? Do you really believe that nothing is impossible with God? Because so oftentimes we just mouth words, we just sing songs, but when things get in our heart, they have power. And so just as we were singing that song, I was just thinking, wow, God, do I believe that you are my healer, my portion, my everything? Do I believe, God, that you're all I need? Do I really believe that nothing is impossible with you? And I just want to encourage us this morning that nothing is impossible with him. And we need to believe that. Pastor John mentioned earlier, the faith. Do we have the faith to believe that? That nothing is impossible with our God. And that has nothing to do with my message this morning, but just a pre-message, a pre-word of encouragement for this morning. And just as an introduction, I guess, to the message this morning, there's, you know, we live in a day and an age where we are at an extreme identity crisis. You can see it everywhere. Literal identity, it's become really to a greater step now with this whole gendered nonsense that's really just crazy, but that's where we are. But even beyond that, just the identity, people just trying to figure out who they are. And we live in a culture that says just be who you are, be who you want to be, whatever you want to do, just do it. Whatever makes you feel good, whatever makes you feel right, just be who you are, right? That's our culture, right? And what that does is it just confuses everybody, because nobody can figure out who they really are. And they're trying to be everybody other than who they were meant to be. And I see it all the time working with young people. Such identity crisis. They're all just trying to be whatever. But the message is always, only God knows who we were meant to be. And this morning, I want to take a look at the reality of who we are called to be. As believers, those of us who know Christ, what does it really look like? I think even within the body of Christ, we've lost our identity. So oftentimes, the body of believers we've kind of just become Christians. But what does that even look like? And do I walk as I ought to? As what God really intended for us to be as believers in Christ. And for the unbeliever, maybe you're sitting here and you don't know Christ, maybe you think you know Christ, and my hope is through his word this morning, you would maybe get a check from the Holy Spirit saying like, whoa, I thought I did know Jesus, but maybe I don't. Maybe today is the day to get right with God for what he really has called you to and to be. And so we're just going to pray this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that nothing is impossible with you. We thank you that you are our healer, our portion, that you are all that we need. And I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would speak to us through your word this morning. God, that we would see the reality of who we are in Christ. God, the hidden treasure. God, that you've revealed to us through your word, that you would open our ears and our eyes and our hearts this morning to understand even just a taste of who you are and who you are calling us, who you have called us to be, that we might walk in our identity in Christ from this moment forward. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, how many of you guys love Jesus this morning? Okay. Woohoo. Yay, Jesus. How many of you love his word? Amen. Those who said amen are the ones, I believe, who really love God's word, who really love Jesus. It's in you. And this morning, my hope, again, is the title of my message this morning is this: the Spirit of Life has set you free. The Spirit of Life has set you free. And we're going to take a look at a lot of scripture this morning. We're going to kind of have some building blocks to get to where we're really going to land, I believe, unless God takes us in a little bit of a different direction. But my hope, my prayer as I was preparing and praying that this would get in your belly. That the Word of God, that the Spirit of God would get inside you, that it would go deep, and that this idea of what we're going to talk about, this freedom we have in Christ, would be so deep. As you know, that expression of in your belly is just, it's so deep, it just wells within you. And my hope this morning is that the Spirit of God would touch you in a way that this truth that we're going to look at today would be in your belly. And it would flow up, as Jesus said, like rivers of living water. Living water for you and for all people who are around you. A river that flows out. And so if you would start with me in the book of 1 Timothy, we're going to start there. We're going to take a look at not all of Paul's writings, but a bunch of Paul's writings this morning. The Apostle Paul. And man, what a guy who knew about being in bondage, right, to his life before Christ, and then being set free. And so we're going to kind of just start off with a little backdrop of the Apostle Paul, 1 Timothy. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. If you don't have your Bibles, you're out of luck because there's nothing on the screen. So there are Bibles in the pew, I believe. 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 12. Paul says, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. And so we have this idea, it's always good to remember where you came from. But it's never good to stay where you came from. See, we got to be in, Paul recognizes, I was the foremost. I was a blasphemer, a persecutor of the church. You don't even know. I was considered the chief of sinners, he says in another part. Right? He says, but God, that was me. But in the mercy of God, that's not me anymore. And that really, right there, that's kind of the heart of my message this morning, is this idea that oftentimes as believers, we allow the past to cling on to us. And we never really come out of that. We kind of remember how we used to be, but there's always that little nipping thing keeping us back. It's you got to make that transfer from the old to the new, which we're going to look at in a minute. And Paul testifies to this. I was that, but by the mercy of God, I'm not the foremost sinner anymore. I was just having a conversation with someone recently, and there's this expression you might, you know, there go I, but the grace of God. And I've heard it a good part of my life, and you might say, yeah, amen. You know, if it wasn't for the grace of God, what I want to do this morning is dispel that as a lie from the enemy. Because in Christ, we're going to see throughout today, we have victory in all things. No, not there go I, but the grace of God. I am a new creature in Christ. I have victory. I stand in the righteousness of Jesus. I'm not the old man. Yes, I can stumble, but I'm not going to fall because of Christ, what he's done in me. And this might kind of maybe stretch you a little bit, but we're going to take that. That's again, my heart is the Spirit of life has set us free. And what does it set us free from? The bondage of our past. The things that hold you down. The thoughts that keep you from really acting as God would desire us to do. And so that's just our little backdrop of Paul, recognizing, if you would go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 16. And so Paul, again, he makes this point, I was a foremost sinner, but the mercy of God came. And when the mercy of God came, he can now attest to verse 16. It says, from now on, at that moment when the mercy of God came through Jesus Christ, therefore we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Did you catch that? Very, very common verse. But again, as we talked about it, do you believe that in your heart? Do you believe that if you have come to Christ, that you are in fact new? What does that mean? It means that you're not the old you anymore. You're the new you in Christ. Because if you're in Christ, you can't be the old you anymore. You've got to be made new. I'm reading a story to my kids. And if you do have children, I encourage you to invest the kingdom of heaven into your children. Through music, through conversation, that's what Moses said, isn't it? Tie it around your neck, right? When you wake up, when you rise up. Read stories, missionary stories, things about the kingdom, testimonies to your kids. And so I'm reading The Harvest, which is the story of Calvary Chapel, Chuck Smith. And within it is all the testimonies of the guys who came to Christ. And we were just reading about Greg Laurie last night. You know, how many of you guys know Greg Laurie? He's got a big church in California, does the Harvest Crusades. But real quick, Greg Laurie he had some childhood. Real, real ravaged, real messed up. He had five stepdads. He was all over the place, trying to find his identity. He was in California trying to be the prep. That didn't work. Then he got caught up with the drug life, right? He dropped acid, doing LSD. This was back in the early 70s, right? He had such a bad trip that he said it just brought him into the face of evil. For the first time, he thought, I can't go back. He didn't think he'd be able to revert back. And he stopped. Long story short, he came to Christ. At the time, this was the time of the Jesus movement. Really, the last great revival in our country was in the early 70s. It was this Jesus movement. They called them the Jesus people. People were getting, Chuck Smith, they were baptizing 900 people a month back then. But the word of God grabbed hold of Greg Laurie. And it said instantly. It wasn't weeks, months, but instantly this young man at 19, 18 was changed. He became a new person. The old man was gone. And he started to walk in his new spirit and his new life. And that's what we have here, this new creation. Are you a new creation? Let's get back to the text, verse 17 or verse 18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. All this is from God. It is the gift of God. It is not of yourselves, so that no man can boast. Right? Recognize where I came from. Wow, look what God has done in me. And recognize, keep knowing that it is from him. See, the reality sometimes too is that we think it's proud, right? If we were to say, no, I'm in Christ. I am a new creature. I am victorious over sin. I am victorious over death. And people might say, well, that's really arrogant. No, that's truth. Not because what I have done, but because what Christ has done in me. And do you live that way? Do you feel that way? Is that in your gut? Again, that reality of who you are. Because this struck me. I was thinking oftentimes, as believers, we think about, man, Acts, right? What did they do in Acts, right? The miracles, and people were raising from the dead, and they just had this power. And you can go outside of America, and you can go to India and China and Africa, and people get raised from the dead, and the blind see, and we're like, why is it? Why don't we see that here? And people will be like, oh, the church, it's the mediocrity of the church, and it's, we're just compromised, and people don't have enough faith. And I believe as I was preparing this message, the Spirit dropped this in my heart. He said, because people don't know who they are in me. They don't realize who they are in me. They forget, as believers, we forget that the living God dwells inside of us. That we are the very righteousness of Christ. And so do you, as you go throughout your day, do you walk in the reality of who you are in Christ? Because I believe that if we, as the body of Christ, would begin to recognize who we really are, we would see those types of things. We would see the miraculous take place. Not for the sake of the miraculous, but for the glory of God. And you would only be encouraged because you would walk with your held high as a child of the King. And you would walk in the confidence of Christ. And it has nothing to do with you or me, but everything to do with Him. If you would just jump one more spot with me to Colossians chapter 3. This passage here is probably, I share this passage oftentimes with the young people I work with. As I said earlier, they're just so lost. People are just so lost. This idea of just trying to find out who I am. Who am I? And I believe this, Paul in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1-4, lays it out pretty clearly. And he says, if then you have been raised with Christ, and there's that's an important word, if then. Because if you haven't been raised in Christ, this doesn't really apply to you. But it can apply to you. So if you're here this morning and you're not in Christ yet, this is the hope that you have, what we're about to read. You can know who you are. Wait, what better thing than to know who you are? Right? What better thing than to have purpose and to be able to live out what you were meant to live out? That's what Jesus offers you. And as those of us who are in Christ, if then you are in Christ and you have been raised with Christ, then seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. We'll stop there for a minute. We'll take a little inventory. A little mental and spiritual inventory of your life right now. Do you set your minds on things above? How much of your day, if you were to list it out right now, right? Plug in the USB to your brain, right? And it's going to pop up on your phone. That's coming soon, probably, I'm sure. Just talking about that, something that's a scary thought. But if it could be done real quick, right? Pop it in, and a list came up. How long would your list be of your thoughts set on the kingdom of heaven in your day? And how long would your list be of the things set on this earth? Something for you to think about. Because Paul says, if then you're in Christ, if you've been raised with Jesus, you should be, your mind should be set on the things above. You should be consumed by heaven and the reality of heaven, driven by the things of the kingdom, not of this earth. Verse 3, it says, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I love that. Your life, the NLT says your real life. and I don't really care for the NLT that much, but in that verse, I love it. Your real life, meaning that any life you live apart from Christ, any life you're living that's not set on the kingdom of God is a farce. It's a fake. And God, in His mercy, wants to reveal that in us and do that work on us and say, man, I have a real life, but it's hidden in Christ. And until you become in Christ, until that reality of Jesus sets in our hearts, it remains hidden. And we can't carry out who we are meant to be. But God wants to draw that out. He says, and your life is hidden with Christ. When Christ, and I love this one too, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. When Christ, who is your life, is Christ your life? Is He your life? As we sang that song again, is He your everything? Because, again, the reality, the who you are to be will be found in the revelation of Christ. And then you can walk in power. Then you can walk in victory. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. I often see, we're around a lot of people at the mission, and you just see people so defeated. People are just so downcast. And they have a lot against them. Don't get me wrong. We have a lot against us. We have a lot of adversaries, a lot of trials, a lot of, and people, but I see it in the unbeliever, which makes sense. And then you see it in the believer, and it breaks your heart. Because you're like, man, do you know who you are? Do you know what's available to you as a son or a daughter of the living God? And you just desire for people to walk in who they are in Christ. In the full authority and the full power that God pours out in us through the Holy Spirit. If you go with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. I'm just going to look at this a little further. Because one of the other tools of the enemy to the unbeliever, it's to just make you feel like dirt. That your life, what you've done, and where you've been, is just, God won't take you. How could this loving, holy God accept me knowing where I've been? And that's the lie. That's the deception. Right? Because it doesn't matter what we've done or where we've been. Right? The mercy of God is greater. But to the believer, the devil likes to hang that condemnation in front of us. Right? He likes to drag us down. When we do stumble, wow, and you call yourself a Christian? Do you remember that time when you, and there it goes, the hook's out, and that condemnation sets in. And then the guilt comes. Real quick, side note. If you feel guilt as a son or daughter of Christ, that is not of the Spirit. It's of another spirit. That's the beginning of the downfall, right? If the devil can make us feel guilty, we've headed into condemnation and we've headed away from the cross. But the power that we have, Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are on Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation. Did you hear that? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There is conviction, Right? As believers, when we step out of the will of God or when we stumble into sin, there's that conviction of the Holy Spirit that does what? Brings us back to Jesus. Right? There's that conviction that says, oh my God, forgive me. Conviction leads to repentance, and repentance leads us to the cross. Condemnation breeds guilt and leads us away from the cross. But do you walk in that confidence? When you do stumble, do you mess up and you mess up? Do you recognize the grace of God in your life? You're a child of God. He does not hold that against you. You clear the slate through repentance and you go on your way. That's victory. There's no bondage there. There's no link. There's no weight. But you have to walk in that. We have to exercise that. That truth. That there's no condemnation. Why? Why is there no condemnation? For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. The Spirit of life has set you free. The Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit has set you free. God's Spirit has made us a new creation. The old me would have been sitting in my room feeling guilty and weighed down and depressed. But the new me is full of God's Spirit, a life-giving Spirit. And so it's that Spirit of God that sets you free in Christ. And I like, you don't have to go there, you could just listen if you want, but I'm just going to flip to Galatians quick. I like how Paul writes it in Galatians 5. He says, for freedom, Christ has set you free. Wow. Isn't that awesome? For freedom. Because God said, man, you are in bondage. But I love you so much that in Jesus, you know, my desire is to set you free. Are you in bondage at all to anything today? Hear this today. It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. That's why he came. That's why he died. That's why he rose again. So be free. For freedom, Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. You are new. You're out of slavery now. Why go back? You think of the Israelites, right? Let's just go back. Let's pick somebody. We were better off in Egypt as slaves, right? And oftentimes, we go back to our old ways. Things maybe just aren't happening fast enough. Maybe we're not seeing God do enough. And so we stumble back. We resort back. We take a back seat. We get comfortable, right? But that's not the life God intended for us. He intended us to be free. He who the Son sets free is what? Is free indeed. Don't go back to a yoke of slavery. You jump to verse 16. He says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And how do we do that? How do we live this life in Christ? How do we continue on in this hidden life that is found in Christ and his resurrection? We have to walk by the Spirit. That's key. We did that whole series, 6 months ago on the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit has to be that person in your life. And he is a person, the Holy Spirit, person of the Trinity. You have to walk by the Spirit. And as you walk by the Spirit, what does it do? It renews your mind. And it renews your heart. And again, you walk in the victory of who you are in Christ. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, because now the flesh doesn't have hold on me anymore, because I'm in the Spirit. When that temptation comes before me, it may be a temptation, but I'm in the Spirit, and the Spirit quickens me. No. And so I move on in the Spirit. I don't get pulled back. The world has no hold on me anymore. The devil is where? Under our feet. Jesus made a mockery of the devil at the cross. And we are sons of him. We are covered in the blood of Christ. I've been going back, but oftentimes throughout time and translations and updates, we use certain words, and we're not going to go to that verse, but there's a word propitiation that you don't hear much in the church anymore because I guess people can't pronounce it or it's just too big of a word and people can't understand it. But the propitiation of Christ, it's a pretty important word. It's really just the reality of the voluntary act of Jesus to do what he did. He volunteered to shed his blood for you and me so that we might have freedom. We need to walk in that. Walk in that spirit. One more verse in Galatians, verse 24. It says, "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Is that you this morning? Are you keeping up with the Spirit? You can't keep up with God. But are you in step with the Spirit? Are you walking in that Spirit-filled life? Walking in who you are in Jesus. In the amazing gift of being in Christ. Let's go back to Romans. We'll kind of finish up here. Romans, we are in verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Sound familiar? For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And we're going to take a look at that for a minute. Again, go back to that list for a minute. Are you seeking to please your flesh more than the Spirit? Because the mind against God, or the mind that seeks to please the flesh, it says is against God. You can't be in Christ. You can't be born again and have your mind set on the things of the flesh. It doesn't. They're in contrast with each other. It cannot happen. And so we got to reflect. Am I in the flesh? Am I walking in the flesh? Am I doing things? Am I responding in my flesh? When certain things happen, situations arise, how do I respond? Do I respond as the new Spirit man? Or do I respond and react in the flesh? Those who are on the flesh cannot please God. And maybe you're here this morning. Maybe there's this one person who you're not, you don't know Jesus yet. I'm going to take a minute to just say, look, if you're living in the world and you're living to please your flesh, you cannot please God. You cannot be good enough. You cannot sit in these seats long enough to be right with God. It's only through the bloodshed power of Jesus. It's only in being reconciled to God through Christ. It's the only way. I am the way and the truth and the life, Jesus said. The life which leads to the walking of the Spirit. You can leave here this morning still walking in the flesh. Just know you're an enemy of God. Or you can walk out the door knowing that you are an enemy of God, but now you're not, because you gave your life to Christ. You recognized where you are in Him. But to those, you, however, that's most of us here, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. All right, you catch this one. This is important, this next line. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Talking to those of us who profess Christ. You're in the Spirit. But you're only in the Spirit if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. And again, how do we know if the Spirit of God dwells in you? What is your mind set on? Might be a house cleaning time for some of us. If the Spirit of God does not dwell on you, that list before is longer on the flesh side. And it might be time to do a self-examination and say, wow, maybe the Spirit of God isn't dwelling in my life. But I need it to. See, that's always the invitation of Christ. It's the mercy of God always extended to us. But oh God, I've stumbled, I've strayed. Bring me back. Lord, I need that list to change. I need to be more set on, your Spirit is not dwelling in me. I don't think, I don't set my mind on the things above. Oh God, forgive me. Help me to put my mind on the things above. And anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, I'm in verse 13, by the way, Romans 8, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. If the Spirit of Him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to you. Wow, isn't it amazing? The Jeremy Camp song, I don't know if you know this song, it's called The Same Power. It goes, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in me, lives in me. And that's kind of almost a culmination of this message. That same resurrection power, which was the offering song, and we may play it again, we'll see how that goes. The power of the resurrection, does it live in you? Do you live in that resurrection power? Again, not anything you or I have done, but because of Christ. And I heard it said one time, and this really stuck out to me, from actually David Wilkerson from Times Square Church. And he said, you know, we think oftentimes, you know, God looks at us and He's like, oh yeah, look at my son or whatever. But Jesus can't really look at us. We have to hide behind the cross because our righteousness is not of ourselves. It's of Christ. It's Jesus' righteousness. That, going back to that propitiation for a minute, it's a covering. It covers us. Jesus. So when God looks at you and I, if we're in Christ, He doesn't see you or I. He sees Jesus. Because Jesus is our righteousness. We have no righteousness in and amongst ourselves. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. But Jesus covers us. Man, if we get a hold of that, just that simple truth, right? That we walk in the very righteousness of God through Jesus. That's amazing. Who am I that you would be mindful of me, David said. But God, in His mercy and in His grace, through the righteousness of Christ, has done it. Has given us that power, that authority, that ability, that freedom. Verse 11, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, did I read that already? Dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to you. I did read that. To your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Let's kind of, we're going to
point out one other quick thing here. Verse 12, I'm going to go on. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Wow. Gets better. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. I'm going to say that verse again, because as I was reading that to me is a very telling verse right there. That's what I believe happens to a lot of believers. We fall back into fear. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. That's not the lot that God has for us, to fall back into fear, to go back to the old ways. But you have received the spirit of adoptions as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. You have received adoption as sons and as daughters. Just think about that for a minute. You and I, the foremost sinners, enemies of the cross, by God's grace, opened our eyes to see Him. Offered new life. You can be a new creation. And we accepted that. New creation. Maybe for some of us, we just didn't want to go to hell. Maybe for some, we just needed a new life. We needed transformation. And God came in and He did it. And He adopted us. He said, you bear my name now. You're my son. I'm going to change your name. We sing that song, right? I will change your name. And that's what He did. He changed your name. He invited you into the family of God. Do you walk in that? That's the Spirit of life has given you freedom. Do you walk in that? God is my Father. Yeah, He's my Father. I'm in His family. You know what that means? I have victory. You know what that means? I'm more than a conqueror in Christ. Because the Spirit of life has set me free. I'm going to close with just going to read to you Philippians. One of my favorite passages, Philippians 3. Kind of sums this all up. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 7. Paul again. He says, But whatever gain I had counted as loss for the sake of Christ, indeed I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And not that I have already attained all this. I am already perfect. But I press on to make it my own. Press on to make it your own. Because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Therefore, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ.
press on. Take hold of all that God has for you. Put it behind. He's got so much more for us. We need to take hold of it. And we need to walk in it. I'm going to ask a little different. We good, Frankie? I want to play just a song in closing today. You can stand, you can sit, you can sing it. But what I really want you to do is reflect on it. And it says, I have the resurrection power living in me, Jesus, my freedom. And as it plays, you do whatever you need to do with it. Meditate on it, chew on it, get into your gut. May it be a prayer even to you as it plays. God, I want that resurrection power living inside of me. Make it a prayer, and then I'll just close in a simple prayer. So if we could just pray that, play that, Frank. You can close your eyes so you can focus on nothing else but the Spirit.
You called me from the grave by name. You called me out of all my shame. I see the old is passed away. The new has come. Now I have resurrection power. Living in the light of your goodness, you have given us freedom.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that the Spirit of life has set us free. We thank you for the freedom and the joy and the peace and the rest and the power that we have in Christ. And Lord, we ask this day, we pray, by that name of Jesus, that we would walk in who we are in Christ. Yeah, that we would walk as heirs, as a holy priesthood, as people belonging to God. God, and that we would walk by the Spirit. And we thank you, God, for this amazing privilege, this amazing honor we have to be in Christ. God, that that might be our identity found in you and you alone. And so we thank you, Lord. I pray your blessing. I pray you pour your Spirit out in us. God, do a deep work in our hearts. God, in our minds. God, strip us of our pride and of our sinfulness and of our wicked ways. God, that we might be more conformed into the image of Christ. And so we love you today, and we thank you, and we pray it all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, we're dismissed, but Pastor Nick and Pastor John and myself would love to pray for you. If you need prayer for anything related to the message or not, have a blessed day.